Happy Sabbath. Oh, you guys sound awake. Amen. Are you guys blessed? Amen. Too blessed to be depressed? Amen. I hope you are. I know I am. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny outside, and I'm happy to be a part of this church family. My tongue's already getting tied up with you guys. Quick trivia question for you guys. What is the largest organ of the body? You guys are so smart. I never knew that until I just started studying this week, that skin is the largest organ. I thought it would have been something else inside my body, but, you know, according to my surprise, it's everything outside of my body. Skin. According to the American Academy of Dermatology, skin is the largest organ, and they also say that the skin weight of the average adult is 8 to 10 pounds. Can you believe that? And, of course, that's going to fluctuate for people. And so don't get too discouraged when you get onto the scale and you look down. Just know that 8 to 10 pounds is your skin. Skin does a couple things for us. Skin protects us, right? Keeps us hot when we're cold. Keeps us cool when we're warm. And it, for the most part, it keeps everything intact and inside where it's supposed to be. When I was a kid, I remember sitting in a church pew at a different church, and I was sitting with my auntie, and all of a sudden, I just started feeling really hot, really, really hot, like I was experiencing a hot flash, but I was a kid, and it was really, really hot, and I started scratching myself, and it started getting worse and worse, and then I pulled up my sleeve, and to my surprise, I looked, my skin was red, and I had about a 5-inch long, 2 inches wide hive on my arm. And I show my auntie, I'm like, Auntie, what is this? What is this? And she's like, uh-oh. So she takes me to the bathroom to take me, get some cool water on it, get a paper towel, put cool water on it. And she takes my shirt off, and I'm covered in hives. And thus was the day that I realized how big I can swell and how easily I can swell and that I can actually get hives. No idea to this day why I got hives. But something caused it as I was sitting in the pew that I had these huge hives. And never again from that day forth did I ever have hives that big. It was really traumatic for me as a kid. I really didn't know what was happening to me. Today's sermon is going to be about a man who had a skin issue. But it was different than mine. It was worse. From the title of this sermon, you can see that it's called Lessons from a Leper. And we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, turn there if you're not there already. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Lessons from a Leper. And it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him. Does anyone know where Jesus just came down from? I'm sorry, what was that? Nope, that was later. You can look in your Bible. I mean, it's an open book test. Jesus had just got down from preaching his Sermon on the Mount where he talked about the Beatitudes and how to love your enemies and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he concludes it all by talking about heeding his word and liking the people who heed his word to people who built their house upon a rock. And those who didn't heed his word, they were like the ones who built their house upon the sand. And as Jesus has just finished, he's coming down the mountain, and great multitudes flock around him. Just like Jesus, always attracting a big crowd of people, a popular guy. And as he's coming, you see this man who's an outcast of society approach the group, and we're told that as he's coming, behold, a leper came. How many of you know what leprosy is? Okay, there's a good portion of you. For those of you who don't know, leprosy is a skin disease that's caused by a bacteria that affects the skin and your nerves. And starts out with, well, you know, I don't know which starts first, but one of the two, either your nerves start going or you get the sores. And over a course of 10 years, it can get really bad where you can start losing limbs. There was a guy who had leprosy for a good couple years, 10 plus years, and he was asleep one night. And then he woke up and he found that two of his fingers had been chewed off by rats. His nerves were completely shot. He couldn't feel it at night to prevent it. That's how bad this disease is. And in the Bible times, you were considered cursed by God's special judgments because of a certain sin or how great your sin was. You got leprosy. And anything worse than leprosy was coming in contact with a dead body, because as a leper, you were good as dead. And so lepers, when they were contracted with leprosy, they had to go present themselves before the priest, and the priest had to determine whether or not they had leprosy or not. And if they did, they had to leave their whole life behind. They had to go to a colony of other lepers, and he had to tear his clothes, and whenever he came close proximity with other people, he had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" And he had to keep walking by them, and people would always hate coming around lepers, because leprosy spreads by contact. And so here's this leper. Out of his comfortable bubble, walking towards a crowd of people, hoping to reach Jesus. Now imagine what he's thinking. He's probably spent all of his life savings to find a cure. Natural remedies didn't work. The doctors couldn't help. He had to leave his family, maybe his wife, his kids, all behind because he had leprosy. And then he had to go to a colony and find a new family, separated. And here he comes. We're told that he was within hearing range of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And I could just imagine the hopes that were building up within him as he's heard the stories before of how Jesus, right before he preached the sermon, he was healing people who had diseases. He was giving people back their sight. He was giving back their hearing. And was giving them back their lives by setting people free from demon possession. And so he's like, well, maybe there's a possibility for me. And so he knows he has a problem. He knows he has no one else to go with him. He didn't have the friends like the paralytic did to lower him down in the roof to see Jesus. He was alone. He knew that his problem was contagious. And he knew that there was no promise of healing, because up to this point, he also knew that there was not another leper who has been healed by Jesus up to this point. And so he has all of this working against him, all of this doubt of what could possibly happen to him. What if Jesus doesn't accept me? What if he's too afraid to touch me and heal me? What if he doesn't heal me? And so with this part of scripture, with the leper going up to the multitudes, could you imagine hearing the scoffs or the disgusted looks on their faces and see people crying, it's a leper, get away, he's going to get us, contagious, and we're going to become lepers, and people hated lepers. Could you imagine him enduring this all? And here we see the first lesson we learn from the leper is to doubt your doubts. We've all dealt with doubt before, right? Whether it's wrestling with a struggle in life or with sin, we all struggle with doubts. Well, doubt your doubts. Doubt the doubts that say your case is hopeless. Doubt the doubts that say no one cares. Doubt the doubts that say you ain't good enough. Doubt the doubts that says no one loves you. Doubt the doubts that keep you from getting help from your family and friends. And doubt the doubts that keep you from going to Jesus and gaining victory. Doubt is such a horrible thing. It prevents you from going and getting help from those who are able to provide it. So the first lesson we can learn from this leper is to doubt your doubts. And in doubting your doubts, you see what happens to the leper. He goes through the crowd, and it parts like the Red Sea. Okay, ain't nobody want to get touched by the leper. And here he comes, and he falls down, and he worships Jesus. And he says, "Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The second lesson we see here is to ask for help. Ask for help. This leper came to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, I want to be clean." The word there for clean is more than just a physical cleaning. He didn't want to just get the sores off. He didn't want to just get the dirt out of his hair or his pits and get the nasty odor off of him. But this man wanted a spiritual, moral cleansing, because they viewed leprosy as a result of your sin. And leprosy is a model for sin, of how sin literally desensitizes your mind and your body. It kills you spiritually and eventually even physically. And here we learn the second lesson from this leper is to ask for help. Something so hard to do, yet it can be so easy. Or you can flip that around. Something so easy to do, it can be so hard. I know I have had hard times asking for help. Sometimes it's pride that gets in the way that prevents me from asking for help. Did you know for drug addicts, there's four things that prevent them from getting help? Number one is fear. They know that there's a detoxification process, but they're fearful that it's not what it really is. Number two is denial. They deny that they actually have a problem with drugs. Number three, procrastination. And they think, oh, you know, just one more high and then I'll go get help. Just one more, man. Just hit me up. Come on. And then, you know, procrastination is one of the devil's strongest weapons. Maybe it reminds me of a story. You guys probably heard this story before of a minister who was preparing his sermon. And it was on the verse, now is the day of salvation. And as he's thinking about it, he eventually falls asleep. And he's brought down in his dream down to hell. And you see the devil with three other angels with him. And they're talking about ways they can deceive people. And the first angel says, I'll tell them that the Bible's a fable and that God doesn't exist. And Satan's like, no, that's not going to work. The second angel says, well, I'll tell them that God doesn't exist, heaven doesn't exist, and hell don't exist. And he's like, no, I just don't think that's going to work. And finally, the third angel says to him, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them that God exists. I'm going to tell them that heaven exists too. And yes, I'll even tell them that hell exists. And I'll tell them also that they can wait until tomorrow. And so they sent him. Procrastination. Thinking that we always have the next day to go to God with our problems. The fourth thing that drug addicts have an issue with asking help is indifference. They don't see that their problem is a problem anymore. They don't think that it's wrong anymore, and so they just do it. And those four things that drug addicts deal with in preventing them from asking for help can be translated in for us in our lives with whatever sin that we're struggling with. We may be fearful of asking for help because we're fearful of how that's going to change our life, how it's going to change when we ask for help and we get help. What are our friends going to think? Our whole life has to change. We have to find new friends. My family might reject me. Or we're in denial that our sin is a problem in our life. That's not a big deal. Everyone does it, right? Or procrastination. Oh, man, I'm like one of the biggest procrastinators. We procrastinate and think, oh, just one more high, or just one more bad word, or just one more sip, one more pill, one more night with him or her, just one more. You fill it in. Procrastination. And the procrastination allows opportunity for those vices or things that chain us to become even stronger and to hold us back and make it harder for us to even let go. And then indifference. Pretty soon we'll probably get to the point where we don't care anymore. It's not a problem. We don't think that there's a problem with what we're doing anymore. But the second lesson that the leper does and shows us by asking help is such a key thing for us. To ask for help. And in asking for help, we find out what happens to the leper. What happens to the leper? Let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible has to say. What happens to the leper when he's asking for help? The third lesson that we find out is that the leper finds deliverance. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Can you imagine this? A leper, for the first time since Elijah, coming to Jesus, asking for cleansing. Jesus looks at him, and in other gospel writers say that Jesus looked at him with compassion. Could you imagine being separated from your family and friends for 10 plus years? Because this man, Luke says, he was full of leprosy. So his case was horrible. He was filled with sores, maybe even missing limbs and in excruciating pain, or maybe didn't feel pain because his nerves were all shot. But this man, for the first time in maybe 10 plus years, has someone look at him as a person rather than a disease. With compassion in his eyes. Could you imagine being in the leper spot, looking into Jesus's eyes and seeing something you haven't seen in a long time or at all in your life? And Jesus does another thing, something that's radical. Jesus is always doing radical stuff. Jesus reaches out and he touches the leper. He touches the leper. And he says, I am willing, be clean. Jesus didn't have to touch the leper to make him clean. He could have just said one word, let alone a thought could have healed the leper. But he touched the leper because he knew that's what the leper needed. Amen. The extra assurance that he wasn't out of God's reach. Amen. And neither are us. We are out of God's reach, no matter how dirty we may be filled with sin, whether it's bad or maybe it's a common thing that the rest of the world is doing, or maybe it's something secret that no one knows about. God can save to the uttermost. Amen? Amen. It's his will that we be set free from sin. Remember in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Christ died for our sins so that we might be delivered from this evil world. Because it is the will of God, our Father. If you ever struggle with knowing God's will, know that one thing for sure. It's to set you free from sin. Amen? Some of you may say, well, I've asked and I'm still struggling. Well, you know, that's a valid point. Sometimes it's not always immediate when we get healing or when we have victory over our sin. It's not always a question if we're going to get healed, but when we're going to get healed. Jesus has already made it plain within Scripture that he wants to set us free. You remember in Proverbs, it says a righteous man falls 7 times and what? Gets back up. And the wicked man falls into calamity. So he doesn't get back up, obviously. How many days are in a week?
Seven.
So if you fall every day of the week, get back up. In fact, the only way you can fall every day of the week is if you're getting back up, right? Let me ask you something. I'll do it right here. Other than the stairs, can I fall down?
No.
No, why? Because I'm already down. That's right. The only way you can fall is if you get back up. Struggle is a good thing within our life because struggle is a sign of life. It means that you're still fighting. It means you haven't given up. The moment you stop struggling, it's the moment you're dead. You're lifeless. Keep fighting. No matter how hard the struggle is or how hard the vices are that are gripping you, keep fighting because I promise you, one day, you know the gaps. You'll be good for like a month and then you'll fall, or then it'd be 2 months and then 3 and you keep falling and getting back up, and then the distance between the times you fall keeps getting bigger and bigger until one day you'll fall and you'll get back up and you'll never fall with that sin again because God will give you victory. And I say that because I've experienced victory. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that that makes me sinless, but that means that it's possible. And it's a day-by-day victory that God wants to give you, where we continue to ask him for help, continue to doubt the doubts that we hear in our minds saying, you're not good enough. Yeah, you got off easy yesterday, but today, today you're gonna fall. Doubt those doubts and then ask for help from Christ saying, I need your help lest I fall today. The lessons here from Christ healing the leper from his horrible disease is an illustration of what he wants to do in healing us and cleansing our souls from sin. Leprosy of sin. The leprosy of sin is the greatest epidemic in this world. And oh so often, it starts with the cultivating in the heart. It reminds me of a story, a man named Malcolm Muggeridge. Maybe some of you have heard this story before. Malcolm Muggeridge was an English journalist, and he was in India one day. And as he was getting ready for his evening bath, he goes down to the river with his towel. And as he's about to dive in, he notices across the way a woman getting ready for her bath. Now, Malcolm has always struggled with lust in his life and this specific issue. But out of loyalty and fidelity to his wife, Kitty, he never crossed the marital bounds. But this time, he thought, maybe this time I can get away with it because I'm in another country. No one else is around. I can get away with this time. And so he starts swimming. And as the conviction starts to sit in, he starts swimming even harder, as if he's trying to outswim the conviction in his mind. And as he gets to about 3 feet away from the woman, he stops and he looks at the woman. And to his surprise, it's an old lady. And she turns and smiles at him with a toothless mask. And the worst part of it all, she was a leper. And Malcolm cursed under his breath, saying, "Oh, what a leprous woman." And then the rude shock of it dawned upon him and said, "She's not the leper, it's your heart." We are the leper, but we also often act like the multitude, where we run away from those who are struggling with the physical effects of sins, which are the same things we may be struggling with internally. We are the leper, but we act like the multitude. We keep those people at arm's length because we don't want to get contaminated. Oh, they don't sin like I sin. Mercy. Do we find ourselves saying that sometimes? Oh, man, that person, they're whack. They got some issues. They don't sin like I sin. Their sin's different from my sin. Well, newsflash, sin is sin. And in God's eyes, there's no such thing as levels of sin. No matter how wicked some things really seem in this world, lying and rape, we think that those are really two extreme levels. But in reality, to God, sin is sin. Whether you lie or whether you rape, it's sin. And sometimes we forget, when we come in contact with these people, we forget maybe how we were dealt with. We forget how long it's taken us to get to where we are right now. And we lose our patience with these other people who are struggling because they're not there with us yet. But we look back in our own life and we see how many years it's taken for us to get to where we are. Pastor Michael, I mean, years, right? And we're not there yet. We're still going. In fact, we're still going to be growing for eternity. We will be growing for eternity. And this is the beautiful thing. The lessons that we learn from the leper should be encouraging to us, amen? That there's victory, that there is a way for us to overcome each daily battle, amen? I was reading earlier from a book that said that it's about the little tests in our lives, the daily little tests that help prepare us for life's greatest crisis. With each victory, with each battle won each day, it makes us stronger and enables us to face life's greatest crisis. Amazing grace, right? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us. We were once lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. What were we blind to? Yeah, we were blind to our own need. And now we see our need, and we see our need of a Savior. It is in Christ alone that we find complete victory. As I close, I just want to read a poem that I wrote about a really kind of dark moment in my life where I was struggling. And it's called "A Slave Set Free." I'm a slave to self. I'm a slave to addiction, the kind that causes friction against the still small voice that is shouting, "You still have a choice." Beat down by my own doing, the voice is crying, "What are you pursuing? If you keep on going, soon you'll be deaf. You'll find that in this choosing, you'll have nothing left." He says, "Let's now reason, as you are in a dry season. Your sins stain you red and will leave you dead. But if you turn around and in weakness fall to the ground, confessing all, following my call, you are forgiven. This is true living. As I struggle with choice, with vice in my grasp, I cry, this was going to be my last. Now it has become my past. Clearly, now I see, by the power of Jesus, I'm a slave set free. My prayer and my encouragement for you guys is to remember the lessons from the leper. That when you come into those moments of doubt, doubt those doubts. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Because as easy as it is, it can be hard. But there is so much freedom when you ask for help. And when you have done those two things, I promise you, one day, whether immediate or eventually, you will find victory and deliverance. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for the lessons that we learn from the grimiest person in the Bible, the leper, of how there was still hope for him, even though it seemed like his case was hopeless. We thank you that you can save to the uttermost and that you can give us victory over the things that we struggle with in our life. Thank you. For the victory that you've given us this day, we pray. Amen.